Dulcinea and I were enchanted. What I remember most about Gough Whitlam is not brave policy, the Medibank, the free university, the end of Vietnam, the arts grants, the no-fault divorce, the scandals and CIA Arab money, or Kerr's perfidy, the slow but typical justice of Fraser's apotheosis into goodness, but just that when I visited Dr. Ben Hanneman's private Don Quixote library in Ben's quiet suburban house in Hurstville, Gough Whitlam had just signed the guest book, Dulcinea and I Were Enchanted. Whitlam was a Fabian like Hanneman and myself, although Ben, a surgeon of the lower bowel, lectured at Sydney, where he somehow, through Dr. Harry Cronenberg, met Harry's wife Grace Perry, the wild doctor poet. Ben read her magazine Poetry Australia and my poem Quixote at the River, which finished. One can already see, Sanko, that here the ordinary light twists falling like thick flashing water, and one feels the day's strange heat solidify our sleeping into a victory lost to the crisp shadows upon the weary autumn pungent grass. It doesn't seem enchanted, but be careful, he keeps such places for his battlefield. The Fabian Society was a unit distinguished not by attending meetings, but by realizing that someone else was in it, rather like the CIA perhaps, but on a calmer level. Ben's library was lined with splendid woods and Spanish volumes. I eventually sent him the Borges Encounter. I was not yet 21 and very serious. When he asked for my Quixote poem, MS, I carefully copied it out in handwriting and signed it, as I always did when someone asked for an MS, not having any such thing, just a notebook and cryptic scribbling. Everyone seemed to think the careful piece of paper was really an MS, I discovered. It was pleasant making people happy. I was never so solemn as not to want to please. What did he read, I wonder, Whitlam, in the Spanish gold texts? Did he see himself as quixotic? Dulcinea and I. The other half of his imagination, a plain practical peasant, not understanding, but also the muse for whom one fights battles, choosing to die to display her favours, hold her shield. I think, then, Malcolm Fraser had the easy route, being frozen and thawing, the pain excruciating but living. I imagine Gough standing there in the fall-lit library, like tall Jimmy Stewart in a stage set, wondering what to say in the guest book, choosing to reveal a bit more than he should about a future that keeps such places for its battlefield.